Let us pray. God, I pray that your grace would abound to us, that we might live into the victory and life of Jesus Christ, and that he was raised to newness of life. We too, by your glory, might live in newness of life. Each of us a new creation, each of us filled with your Holy Spirit, displaying your glory and shining your light in the world. And may this message, by the conviction and power of your Holy Spirit, serve to accomplish that purpose in all of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. For those of you who have read the headlines lately or watched the news, how did that make you feel? Fear, anxiety, panic, worry, concern. That's the headlines of the world. Headlines of the kingdom of God are different. And Lent is about turning to the headlines of the kingdom of God. Not to ignore the realities of the world, but to find our footing in the kingdom of heaven so that then from there we can approach the realities of the world and tackle them and overcome them. Jesus told us that apart from him, we can do nothing. However, he also told us that through him, we can bear much fruit. He encourages us that with God, nothing is impossible. Not one thing is impossible for us that God calls us to do. Through him, we can do it. Jesus tells us, essentially, don't be afraid in this world. For it has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom of heaven and all of its resources for life in this world. God even says, particularly through the prophet Isaiah in verses 8-12, do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. He's referring to those who are unbelievers, those who don't follow God. Don't fear what they fear. Don't dread it. Rather, throughout the scriptures, we are encouraged, be strong and courageous. Jesus even said, you're going to have trouble in this world, but don't be afraid. I've given you peace, and I've overcome the world. If we allow ourselves to become consumed with the headlines of this world, which is very easy to do, the more we read them, the more we want to know information about what's happening, they inspire things like fear and anxiety, hatred, agoraphobia, greed, covetous, lust sometimes, anger, envy. The kingdom of heaven and its headlines and its stories produce in us what the Apostle Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, patience. Again, patience. That's what God's message inspires in us. And the Holy Spirit produces them in us as we yield ourselves to him and submit to him. The Apostle Paul writes something that is true across the board in Romans 10:17. He says, faith comes from hearing the message. Whatever message you hear and yield yourself to over and over again, whatever message you consistently tune your ear to and set your mind on, you're going to have faith in that message. Whether it's negative and untrustworthy or not, if you yield to it, you will have faith in it. If it's the headlines of today, you will have faith in the panic. You'll have faith in the fear. And it will produce in you faith, fear, and anxiety. But for Paul, the message was the good news of Jesus Christ and his promises of salvation. And as we hear the message of the kingdom of God, the good news of Jesus, that produces faith in his salvation, faith in his providence, faith in his victory over all things in this world. So what is the headline from the kingdom of heaven for this first Sunday of Lent? I want to take it from the gospel reading today. The headline might read something like this: Jesus gains victory over sin and Satan. Find out what it means for you. The story of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying and then overcoming the temptations from Satan. Who are the characters in this historical event? Well, there's the Holy Spirit. He leads Jesus into the wilderness to pray and to fast and to be tempted. Jesus, of course, he's there. And then out in the wilderness, he is tempted by Satan, called the tempter. And also, angels of God are ministering to Jesus there. If you take nothing from today's headline from the kingdom of heaven, take this. That in all of your travels and journeys in this world, all of your events, these characters are present in your life. The Holy Spirit of Jesus, he's present in your life.
Amen.
If you've received Jesus as your Lord and asked him into your life, the Holy Spirit is present in you. The Spirit of Jesus. Satan himself might not be present in your life, but I can guarantee you some of his underlings are always hanging around.
That's right.
They're there. And there's angels from God present, whom the author of Hebrews calls ministering spirits, sent to serve those who are inheriting salvation, sent to serve us. And the good news I'm going to give you right up front is that there are twice as many angels who serve God as those who rebel against God, according to Revelation. So that's the one truth to take away today. There's a few more from this passage, from the temptation of Jesus. One is that when you face trials and temptations in this world, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. And like I said, if you've asked Jesus into your life, he is in you. You're not alone. It seems like when Jesus is there facing Satan that he's alone. But we're told that the Holy Spirit has led him into the wilderness. This event follows the baptism of Jesus when the Holy Spirit came upon him and remained. Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hasn't abandoned him. And during your times of temptations and trials, the Holy Spirit is present with you too. And so are the angels of God. You are never outside of God's reach.
That's right.
Outside of the scope of the kingdom of heaven. And the Holy Spirit leads Jesus, and he leads us sometimes into trials, not for our defeat or failure, but for our victory and our faith. Now, the devil comes to tempt Jesus and to undermine the very truth that was spoken over Jesus at his baptism. You are my son whom I love. With you I am pleased. The devil comes to undermine that truth. He does the same thing in our lives. If you are really God's child, if God really loved you, if God was really pleased with you, if God was really with you, if Jesus really died for you, all of those ifs are from the evil one, just like they were in Jesus' situation here. The devil comes to convince us that we are alone, that nobody's with us, nobody's going to help us. You can't trust God, so you might as well try to fix this yourself, however you think best. Or you might as well get whatever you want in this world, whenever you want it, however you want it. But during Lent, we deny that temptation, just like Jesus did. We deny the temptation from Satan. During Lent, we emphasize prayer and scripture, giving to others and fasting. Now, the demons of hell are going to come to us and try to undermine every single one of those. Read scripture? Why would you do that? It's an old book. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything anyway. Can't trust it. Prayer? Why would you pray? God's not going to answer your prayers, if he even answers anyone's prayers, if he's even there. He's definitely not going to answer your prayers. Give money away to the church, to the poor? Are you crazy? You got to hold on to that. Have you seen what's happening to the stock market? You got to hold on to your money. Don't give it away. That, by the way, is the opposite of what to do. Invest in the kingdom of God. Read the Bible. And fasting? Well, now that's just crazy talk. As if you could fast anyway. Well, maybe just try to lose some weight, skip lunch. But a spiritual discipline, forget it. The devil comes against all of those things. But Jesus shows us how to respond. What does the Word of God say? It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If that is true for Jesus, it is true for us. That means that what we think sustains us and satisfies us isn't at the core. At the core is God's word. Jesus demonstrates that. The second thing, besides knowing that you're not alone, is knowing that demons know what they're doing. Satan knows what he's doing, and all of his demons know what they are doing to us. They've been around a long time doing what they do, tempting people, accusing people, oppressing and harassing people, causing people to sin, causing people to think of lies and worst case scenarios. Like they hit Jesus, they're going to hit us where we're vulnerable, where we're weak. They're going to blindside us. They're going to try to overwhelm us. Where are you vulnerable to the temptations of demons? That's something to think about during Lent. Mm-hmm. And then what do you do about it? You build yourself up in the most holy faith. You put on the full armor of God. You study God's word and use it. You seek healing for those areas of vulnerabilities in your soul.
That's right.
That's what our healing service is about, in addition to physical healing. Because the devil is deceptive, he's tricky, he masquerades as an angel of light, and they will be there to trip us up and to tempt us. We have to be ready and prepared.
That's right.
Having our discernment practiced and mature so we can discern what is from God, what is from the devil, and what is just happenstance. And that gets to the third point. We need to know what we're doing. Like Jesus. Jesus was prepared. He had prayed. He knew God's word. So when the devil came at him, he knew exactly who it was and what he was trying to do. Now, Jesus has an advantage here because he's the creator of all things. John says that nothing was created apart from him. So he kind of knows who this is and has a better perspective. But he's still tempted when the devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world and tries to give him a shortcut to ruling them. You don't have to go through all this hardship and suffering. Forget that. Bow down to me. I'll give it to you straight away. God's way is hard. It's difficult. He's mean. Just come and worship me. I'll give it all to all of to you at once. I own it. I rule it. You can have it. What is the evil one showing you to tempt you? Is it something enticing? Or is it something fearful? Is it a memory? Is it a worst case scenario of the future? This is something the enemy does. He shows us something to lure us from God, to distract us, to overwhelm us. What is it? And are you entertaining it? Are you buying into it? Or are you flat out rejecting it like Jesus does? Be gone from me, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord God only, and him only shall you serve. He's going to show us those things that will tempt us or make us afraid. We got to know what we're doing. We got to know what comes from God and what his promises say. And the fourth thing is that Jesus has faith, and he stands firm in his faith in God and God's word, and he pushes back against Satan. That's the same for us. We have to have faith, and we have to stand firm in faith and push back against the temptations and the harassment and schemes of the evil one.
All right.
The word of God even says, if you don't stand firm, you won't stand for anything.
Yes, sir.
And it says over and over, stand firm in the faith. Jesus trusts in God and God's word. And we have to do the same. The difference is that Jesus is God and we are created. So where Jesus has authority in himself to deal with Satan, our authority comes from Jesus and through Jesus to deal with the unclean spirits, with the evil spirits that come against us. Because our authority comes from and through Jesus, it is no less than Jesus' authority. But it's not on our own. It's in his name. And Jesus even said in Luke 10, I've given you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you. That's the authority and the promise we have in Jesus' name. 1 John 4:4 even says, for those of us who are in Christ, and Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit, he says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So even if Satan himself were to come and tempt us like he does Jesus, or if he were to come and try to make us afraid with foreboding, or anxious, or guilty, or shameful, or feeling ashamed for anything in our past, if Satan himself, the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, came, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, because in us is the Spirit of Jesus, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that commanded Satan to leave is in us. So what do? Well, we pray to God through Jesus. Anytime we're tempted, anytime we're afraid, God, help me to deal with this. God, give me your word. Give me your thoughts. Give me your strength. Give me your help. And then just what Jesus did, we declare the word of God. It is written, you spirit of fear, you evil spirit, it is written that perfect love casts out fear. It is written, do not be afraid, little flock, for it has pleased the Father to give me the kingdom. It is written, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Over and over again, we declare the word of God. And then we command the evil spirit to leave. Spirit of fear, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave my presence. I bind you from speaking to me anymore. I command you to leave and go to where Jesus commands you and do not return to me. And then we stand firm in the faith. I will wait for the Lord my God. He will fulfill his purpose for me. His love and his mercy endure forever. I can trust in God. I stand firm on his promises. I'm not going to be afraid of what may come or what may not come. The Lord is my refuge, my rock. That's what we do. If there were headlines for today from the kingdom of heaven, it would be Christians, pray, declare the word of God in your lives, command the evil spirits away in the name of Jesus, and stand firm in the faith. The angels of God are waiting for us to follow those commands. When Jesus commanded Satan away and declared that final word of God, it says that Satan left him and the angels of God were ministering to him. Now, where had they been? Why did they wait till Satan left to come? Well, one answer is that the wilderness time for Jesus was a time of testing. He was led there by the Holy Spirit for this purpose, to be tested by Satan and to overcome Satan, which he would do again and again. I believe that the angels were on standby, waiting for a word from the Father to go and to intervene. And when Jesus did command them away, they were activated, and they went to enforce that command. They went to minister to Jesus because he overcame. He fulfilled God's test and remained faithful. God is going to allow testing in our lives. I wish it wasn't so. I wish the Christian life was all bliss, but the Christian life is lived in this world where there are trials and tribulations. And there are times when our faith is tested. Is God going to come through? Will I believe in him? Will I choose to follow God? Or will I be overwhelmed by the headlines of the world and the temptations of Satan? There's a story in the Old Testament that illustrates this about King Hezekiah. He was king of Judah, and he was a good king who followed the Lord in all of his ways. And he led reform and spiritual revival to the Lord in Judah, did a lot of good things. And the prophet Isaiah came to him in his sickness in his older age and said, God says, prepare yourself, you're going to die. And Hezekiah prayed and asked God to give him more years of his life. And so God sent Isaiah back to him and healed him and gave him 15 years of his life, added to his life. And people from around the nations heard about it. And some ambassadors from Babylon, a nation far away, heard about it. And they came to the nation of Judah to see Hezekiah, to hear about how God had healed him. Now, by this time in Hezekiah's reign, he had instituted faithfulness to the Lord, and God had blessed and rewarded Judah with riches and prosperity. He had accumulated great treasures in the temple of God and in his own palace. He was living well. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, it says this: Hezekiah succeeded in everything he undertook. But when envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. You could read it like this: God left him alone, backed away, in order to test him to know everything that was in his heart. This was a faithful king, but God just backed off a little bit, wanted to see what would happen. Would he be faithful to God, or would he give in to the temptations and the pride of life? That's what Jesus was allowed to undergo. He was allowed to be tested for his heart to be proven. Would he be faithful? Would he be obedient? Unfortunately for Hezekiah, he failed that test. In his pride and his arrogance, he allowed those ambassadors to come and he showed them everything. All the treasures that he'd accumulated, probably boasting in it. And people from that same nation, Babylon, some decades later, came and took it all away. But Jesus succeeded the test. He accomplished God's purpose and was faithful and obedient. And thankfully, it's through him, not through Hezekiah or on our own, that we also have victory over sin. In fact, John writes, "What is it that overcomes the world?" Think about those headlines in the world today. What is it that overcomes those headlines? What is it that overcomes the panic and the fear and the terror? John says it's our faith. It is our faith in Christ that overcomes the world. Because he overcame the world for us. And our faith in him brings about our victory. So remember that headline from the kingdom of heaven. Pray to God. Submit yourself to him. Pray to God, declare his word over your situation and life. Rebuke the evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Stand firm in faith and invite the ministry of God's angels. When you do, there will be a headline in the kingdom of heaven. Another victory for the child of God over sin and Satan won through Jesus. Or a child of God stands firm in the faith, declaring God's word over her life. Or maybe angels of God chase demons away from a child of God who spoke the word in Jesus' name. Just imagine the banner of heaven over your life. And imagine all of heaven rejoicing over the victory that you experienced through Jesus Christ and by being faithful to him. That's the headline for us this day in Lent. Let us close in prayer. Oh, Father, I pray, God, that you excite us with the victory that we have with Jesus. That our excitement, our joy would be our strength and would overcome any temptations of the evil one to be fearful or anxious about anything in this world. Because you have overcome the world and our faith in you overcomes the world, and so we can experience your peace continually, the shalom of God from your presence. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. Command and empower your angels to minister to all of us and our families. And even those who are not with us today, God, send your angels to minister to them now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.